Terry was reading from the New American Standard Version. I usually preach from the NIV translation. This area of temperance is also called self-control or moderation. And there was a term that Betty brought out to me this morning, equanimity. And I thought that was a good terminology as well. But it all points to one thing, balance. And it points to discipline. And if we look at this this passage, Paul is talking about athletics. He's talking about the games. He talks about athletes preparing for exercise and so on so that they can win in the game. And Paul often used the Greek athletic events and games to illustrate spiritual truth. The Olympics was in existence before Christ. And so all the people in the Mediterranean knew about the games. And when Paul said the games, everybody knew what he was talking about. And they were familiar with that all throughout the Roman Empire. So this illustration could hit anybody. And of course, our society is so much into athletics, and we would understand the same thing. But this text talks about effort made by athletes so that they can win the prize. Now, Paul says that this effort requires strict training. Now, that's my translation, strict training. The word training helps us to visualize this exercise, physical exercise, zeal, exertion of the body. And the word strict refers to, or we can maybe see, the restraint of guidelines or rule of exercise that might promote development, promote growth, muscular growth, and help to prevent a wasted effort in their exercise or in their competition. And so Paul draws upon these things, and both the athlete and the Christian need this strict training, or you might want to call it this zeal and restraint, strict training to win the victory. Because we're all after a prize, and we'll get more into this as we look into it. But Paul contrasts this strict training with something else. He says about the futile efforts of a man running aimlessly, or of a man beating the air. Looks like he's not doing anything. He's not even practicing right. He should be punching a bag, but he's just beating the air. And so he's getting nowhere. And those kind of athletes will not win. They have to have the strict training. The training has to be strict. And so this cardinal virtue of temperance describes strict training. And in Paul's illustration, it's like a zeal and a restraint. This virtue is like a guard. It stands like a guard to guard us against extremes that might ultimately sabotage our success, either in athletics, in the games, as it says here, or in the Christian life, which is often alluded to as a race that we must win. Success in the Christian life requires both zeal and restraint. There's a balance there. Temperance implies a balance, between positives and negatives. And if you think about it, it's like a moderation between efforts to pursue and things that you do want to avoid, practices that you want to eliminate out of your life, or distractions. Anglican Bishop Joseph Hall, back in the 1600s, said this: moderation or temperance. Moderation is the silken string running through the pearl chain of all virtues. So if you think about that, as we look at any of the virtues that we're going to be discussing, this thing of temperance or moderation comes into play. It is more or less a balance in our lives that will moderate our activities so that they are geared towards success. They will not go to one side or the other or end up going the wrong direction, but they will help the Christian life to have success.
Well, to gain this understanding then, if it's this important, if it's the cardinal virtue, if it's one that's really important, then we need to try to understand temperance a little bit. And I think that, first of all, there is a danger of good things. That's the first point I want to make out. Why temperance is important is because there is a danger of good things. Now, God, when he created the world, every time he created, every day that he created, he ended up at the end of the day saying, and he saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. And then on the last day when he made humanity and he made some of the animals and so on, and he said he saw it was very good. So we know that God has created a good world filled with good things. And our bodies, our the plants around us, the animals, weather, everything is beautiful and good. But humans are notorious for pushing good things to their extreme limits, aren't they? We take good things and we just push them to their limits. Like eating, for instance. Eating food. I mean, that's a good thing, isn't it? It helps to give nutrients to our body, and that helps us to stay well, and it's a good thing. But if you push that to the limit and you are overeating, then you are actually outside the realm of the good, and you are in the realm of the bad through eating, which was a good thing, wasn't it? Or let's take, for instance, talking. Talking is important. It's a good thing. It assists us in communication with the world around us. But you take talking to its limit, and you just start pushing talking, and pretty soon it's no longer conversation. It is chatter. And chatter can actually work against communication. And people just turn you off. And they don't even listen to you anymore because talking has gotten out of hand. You've got to balance talking with listening, don't you? Or you aren't in conversation anymore. Yeah, so chatter, it can be. And you know, every single good thing that God has made can actually be taken to an extreme and pushed to its limits and become unprofitable or even destructive and damaging. Well, God made a good world. And he made a good world for us to live in and work in. But we are not just part of the physical world that we've been created into. We are also spirit beings that inhabit fleshly bodies that interact with this world. And that is the key to understanding the spiritual virtue or the Christian virtue of temperance. Understanding that, yes, we do have a body. Yes, we need to do the good things that God has created for our bodies. But we're not just bodies. We are also spirits living in bodies. And someday we're going to leave these bodies behind and get new ones. What the body has been for us is for to express the life of that spirit that lives within it. And then we also enjoy the things along the way that God has intended for the body. It's very pleasurable living in the body, especially when you have ice cream, sundaes, and things like that, you know. And you say, whoa, that's good. Or you enjoy a ride on some of the people don't enjoy this anymore. But some of those rides at the fair, and you get a wee, you hear all the kids going wee. Well, sometimes I don't go wee, I just get sick. My body doesn't react to it very well. Well, we have to live in this world, and we have to work in this world, but we need to identify what we're really here for. And our relationship with God makes that identification. And we must live and work in this world in ways that show that relationship and identify that relationship. And Jesus gave us the best illustration of this. In Hebrews, it says that Jesus said, when he came into the world, he said, a body you prepared for me. Okay, physical body. He says, I have come to do your will, O Lord. You see, the human body is a great place to live inside of sometimes if it doesn't get in trouble. And it's wonderful to experience the pleasures of the human body, but that's not the point. Those are just blessings along the way. The expression is the will that is inside. And that's what Jesus said. A body you prepare for me to do your will, O Lord, showing the relationship our spirits have with the spirit, a being God who made us. Now, temperance is how that we can combat the opposite, or combat the temptation to use our bodies in wrong ways or to use our lives in wrong ways. Satan tempts with good things. Did you know that Satan can't tempt with a bad thing? He has to tempt with a good thing. He takes the good things of God and he uses them as the means of temptation. And it wouldn't work with any way around. If people saw something bad, they would say, no, I don't want that. But he tempts with the good thing. And what he does, these are the things that were made by God for us, for humanity. He takes those good things and he sets them outside the boundaries or the limits that God has set for them that are good for us, that make them, that are the qualities that make them have goodness. And outside of those places that God has set them, they are wrong and they hurt us. And that's what Satan is trying to do. It's interesting. Temperance is like not only a study of things, but it's trying to put those things into practice. What are the boundaries? What are the limits that God has set? What must I restrain myself? At what point do I restrain myself so that I do not go beyond the limit and therefore it becomes no longer good? It becomes destructive. That's important. And so we need, as Christians, to make sure we are studying the rule book, the guidebook. You know, it's important for athletes to have a trainer. And it's important sometimes for them to read about the human body so that they can know how to exercise the right way. And a lot of people make a lot of money selling books or selling devices to help your body exercise and so on, set training sets and so on. They're all built around the physical or physiology of the body and so on. Well, we need to understand us, and this book has been given to us by God to help us to understand ourselves, to know the limits, to know what is good, and how the good things can, when they go beyond the limits or go beyond the boundaries, become temptations that can be destructive. So we want to do that. And the Bible warns us what to avoid as well as what to do. That's the important point. There's the positive and the negative. So when you read the Bible, you're not looking for negative. You're looking for positive and negative. There must be a balance. Now, the Greek athletes, we talked about them a little bit a couple of weeks ago during Easter, what the word gymnasium meant. It was a place where people exercise with no clothes on. And that's why it got that word, because gymnos means naked. But the Greek athletes dressed like everybody else. They were in public. They socialized. They dressed like everybody else. But when it came to exercise and competition, they saw clothing as a useless hindrance, something that would only get in the way. And so they always stripped down to their birthday suits in the game. Now, that might be hard for us to take, but if it was a common practice back then, everybody was just treated as normal. But it's important because Paul mentions this several times. And in this one passage, this is not Paul, it's the writer of Hebrews, but it says it the best way. And I'm taking it out of the Living Translation because it's actually set the context to show you it's like one of the games. This is Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Now listen to this. It's just like, just put yourself back there and think that you're at the game. You're watching this. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstand, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up, and let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. There you see that illustration of what Paul was talking about in these games, where people took everything that they could get off, they took off so that they could run fast and win the prize. Well, we, in a sense, are surrounded by, as it says in Hebrews, a great cloud of witnesses, people who have gone beyond, gone before us. Maybe Sunday school teachers that were your Sunday school teachers, or preachers that you knew in the past that are gone. Now, they're in the grandstands now, watching how we're going to run the race. Watching to see if we will exercise and leave behind any hindrances. Not be restrained by anything, but be positive and know what to cast off. And how does a good thing, how does something that is good become a hindrance or a sin that so easily entangles us, as it says in the NIV for this translation of Hebrews? The sin that so easily entangles us sometimes can have started as something good. Well, it happens by taking our eyes off of the prize. When you take your eyes off of the prize, you forget what you're about. You forget what the whole point of the game was. What is the prize? What is the prize? It says, run in such a way as to get the prize. Well, Paul, in another passage of this same, using the same illustration of athletics, in Philippians 3, verses 13 and, through 15. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. The mature Christian life is a life of momentum that is heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's a heavenward momentum. It's like we need to get going in the direction where the prize is. And this is illustrated by Jesus himself. In that same passage where Paul was talking, or where the writer of Hebrews was talking about the athlete stripping down, the verse after that talks about Jesus and how he had this vision of the prize, of what he had his eyes fixed on. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, he's our prize. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus never calls us to do anything that he hasn't done himself. He has stripped himself down to come down into this, to this earth. He became one of us. He took on our humanity. And he ran the race with keeping his eyes on the joy of being faithful to his call that his Father had given him. And he calls us to do the same thing, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, temperance is a mental guard that keeps our eyes off of empty distractions and on the goal that we're running to reach. I do not want to run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Emptiness, empty distractions. Some of you probably saw this movie. It's a classic movie, Bridge on the River Kwai, with Alec Guinness. Alec Guinness played the part of a British colonel named Nicholson. And this guy, Nicholson, became so caught up and misdirected with his zeal in building this bridge for his Japanese captors that at the end of the movie, he actually tried to prevent the bridge. He lost his life trying to prevent the bridge from being blown up. He got his eyes off the real goal of who he was. He was a British colonel, and he was supposed to be fighting the Japanese, even though he was having to build a bridge for them. So he should have been, yes, all of our work blown up, that'd be great. But no, he wanted to. He had got his eyes. He became very jealous to the point it caused the Japanese fellows even to cry, have tears in his eyes, that he was just seeing them work so hard on this bridge. It's amazing, the story. But that's sort of like us too. We can get our eyes. We can be very jealous about something that is the wrong goal, the wrong prize. And success in the Christian life requires both a zeal that's in the right direction and a restraint from worldly distractions that are empty and are aimless, like beating the air. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and through 17 is a great passage that's quoted so often. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. What are we running for? What is the prize that we're looking for? Well, at the end of the race, we don't want to look around and find that we've arrived in the wrong direction, at the wrong goalpost. You know, I have to say that I didn't get to play very much, and I was very uncoordinated when I was in high school trying to play basketball. I was on the junior high team, and I only got to play one time in a game that kept me on the bench the rest of the time. I tell you why, because when I finally got off the bench and played the game, I was good at stealing balls, but I got a hold of that ball and went down and put it in the basket of the opponent's side, you know. And then I was pulled back to the bench again. I was jealous. Man, I grabbed that ball, but I put it in the wrong basket. We can do that, can't we? I don't want to end up at the end of the race with my ball in the wrong basket. And at the end of the race, we want to be able to say the same thing that Paul said in another location. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what we want to be able to say, and we want one more thing. We want, was in that song we sang a little bit ago, we want to hear at the end of the race, we want to hear Jesus' words from Jesus with, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. Success in the Christian life is success in athletics, but especially for us, success in the Christian life requires both a zeal that's in the right direction and a restraint, the restraint of temperance that keeps us guarded on our goals and keeps us looking, a zeal for winning the prize that God has for us and faithfulness to God. That's the prize. We want to be able to be faithful to God all the way through. And also this restraint that keeps us from being distracted by the good things. That when they are carried to an extreme and they become the goal rather than just something to enjoy along the way, those good things distract us. We want to be able to have the zeal that reaches the goal and wins the prize. This is what Christian victory is, and this is what athletic victory is. But we're interested in the Christian victory. Now, you know, some of us don't have very much longer to run. And that could be me on my way home today in the car, getting in a car accident. That might be my last run. But we want to be faithful all along the way. Temper is a cardinal virtue to keep us on track. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these many virtues that are listed and that help us in the Christian life. Lord, help us to put into practice temperance. So if there are things that we have taken, the good things that you've given to us, and we push them to an extreme, I pray, Father God, that you'd help us to get back on track. Get our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and keep us headed towards that faithful goal of being someday pronounced by you as a good and faithful servant. Lord, we pray that we might finish our course and keep the faith all the way through our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.